Good evening, and welcome to Shuffle Play. Tonight, I am joined by my co-host, Thomas the Thunderbear Heisler. He once slept with a marmot. He has also slept with Hillary Swank. Tonight, we have a wonderful show for you, so I'm just going to go ahead and get right on to it.
And here we see the roast. It is preparing in the oven.
Oh, thank you there, Hans. It is my favorite recipe here. Oh no, I gotta be careful with the roast. It's delicate. Too much oregano.
Yeah, I'll flame up if you don't season it correctly. It just sits fire. It's really terrifying.
Wait a minute there, Mr. Payne. I don't know what to say about this. So my very Yiddish grandmother from she's from Rusland.
Rusland.
Roots of West Russia, West Bielorussia. You Americans. I don't.
Americans.
Oh no! The roast is burning.
Fuck.
Put it out!
I'm trying, Hans. It's not working.
Try harder!
I don't want this. No, don't tell me that.
You aren't trying hard enough.
I'm a delicate creature.
I know.
Anyway. We can all go back to Poland. Poland. You know, because...
Poland,
this roast is... Didn't I tell you? That's Bielorussia, that's different.
The moose, or Eurasian elk, is the largest extant species in the deer family. Moose are distinguished by the palmate antlers of the males. Other members of the family have antlers with a dendritic configuration. Moose typically inhabit boreal and mixed deciduous forests of the northern hemisphere in temperate to subarctic climates. The animal bearing the scientific name Alces alces is in Britain known as the elk, and in North America as the moose. The British English word elk has cognates in other Indo-European languages. For example, elg in Norwegian, alg in Swedish, elg. I'm sorry, Hans. Eich in German, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce that in Polish.
Losh.
The ensuing chase and capture was the stuff dreams are made of, Kramer says. Stark naked, like the day he was born, beaten, bruised, bloody, and tripping, this icon of modern music ran like Jesse Owens through the entire complex. Down the halls, up the stairs, grabbing beer bottles from people's hands as he went, and throwing them down on the concertgoers below. A hail of beer cans, bottles, and miscellaneous garbage rained down upon the Dutch persons as I finally caught up with Gibby, just as a throng of the biggest security guards I had ever seen caught up with him, too. At this time, there were perhaps maybe 20 hands on him, holding him down, and although Gibby was completely crazy, he is not stupid. I'm sorry! I'm fucking sorry! Please don't beat me anymore! I have a brain tumor! I can't help the way I am! Please don't hit me again! It's against my religion! Haynes then made a successful run for the dressing room and slammed the door behind him. Kramer could hear Leary and Haynes screaming at each other inside, and when he finally worked up the courage to open the door, he found the two of them smashing guitars, bottles, and chairs in what Kramer calls the most potent example of bad behavior I've ever seen. To this day, more than 15 years later, I have no more vivid memory of the effect a life in music can have on a human being. Moments later, a man entered the dressing room and asked if he could borrow a guitar.
Borrow a guitar? Well, who the fuck are you?
Haynes screamed, eyes flashing in delirious anticipation of forthcoming violence. But the man was totally unfazed.
I'm Alex Chilton, the man answered calmly. Haynes was flabbergasted. After a long pause, he methodically opened the remaining guitar cases one by one and gestured at them as if to say, take anything you want. But before they went on stage, he hugged an entire bottle of red wine. Moments into the set, he dived straight into the horrified crowd, which parted like the Red Sea. Haynes knocked himself unconscious on the floor to warm applause from the theater's security team. I looked down at Gibby, recalls Kramer. He tries to move, but then collapses as...
shade is not a hazy hue, but pure and hard, my sky blue, blue. It's like a Roman candle coming rosebud.
Okay, Santana. That creep can roll, man.
Yeah, but he's a pervert, dude.
Yeah.
No. He's a sex offender with a record. He did 6 months in Chino for exposing himself to an 8-year-old.
Huh.
When he moved to Hollywood, he had to go door-to-door to tell everyone he was a pederast.
What's a pederast, Walter?
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. So, how much did they give you?
$20,000, man. And, of course, I still get to keep the run.
Just for making the handoff?
Yeah. They gave, dude a beeper. Also, whenever these guys call...
What if it's during a game?
Oh, I told them if it was during league play.
What's during league play?
Life does not stop and start at your convenience, you miserable piece of shit.
I figure...
What's wrong with Walter, dude?
I figure it's easy money, you know. It's all pretty harmless. She probably kidnapped herself.
Huh?
What do you mean, dude?
Rug Piers did not do this. Look at it. A young trophy wife marries this guy for his money. She figures he isn't giving her enough, you know. She owes money all over town.
That fucking...
It's all
bitch.
Goddamn fake, man. It's like Lenin said. You look for the person who will benefit, and, you know...
I am the walrus?
You know, you'll, well, you know what I'm trying to say?
I am the walrus.
That fucking bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I am the walrus.
That's shut the fuck up, Donnie. The I, Lenin. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Fucking exactly what happened. Those... That makes me fucking sick.
Well, what do you care, Walter?
Those rich fucks. This whole fucking thing. I did not watch my buddies die face down in the muck so that this fucking strumpet, this
Walter,
fucking whore,
I don't see any
could
connection
waltz around
with Vietnam,
down.
Man.
Well, there isn't a literal connection,
no, Walter,
dude.
Face it. There isn't any connection. You're wrong.
Have it your way. But my
your
point
role.
Is... That my point
your
is...
Role. Are you ready to be fucked, man? I see you roll your way into the semis. Dios mio, man. Liam and me, we're gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Let me tell you something, Pandeo. You pull any of your crazy shit with us, you flash a piece out on the links, I'll take it away from you and stick it up your ass and pull the fucking trigger till it goes click.
Jesus.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Eight-year-olds, dude.
Well, she's fashionably lean. She's fashionably late. She'll never break a scene. She'll never break a day. But she's no drag, just watch the way she walks. She's a 20th century fox. She's a 20th century fox.
How about this way? I love how you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle right there when you look at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend the day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. I love that you're the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want to the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
That is just like you, Harry. You say things like that, and you make it impossible for me to hate you. And I hate you, Harry. I really hate you. I hate you.
What does this song mean? My whole life, I've never known what this song means. I mean, should old acquaintances be forgot? Does that mean we should forget old acquaintances? Or does it mean if we happen to forget them, we should remember them? Which is not possible, because we already forgot them.
Well, maybe it means that we should remember that we forgot them or something. Anyway, it's about old friends. Oh, God, hoot.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Magik Ivan, you and that.
Ik spreek geen Nederlands.
Ik spreek geen Nederlands.
Spreekt hier Lemand Engels? Lemand.
Waar is het toilet?
Ik heb mijn portefeuille offeren.
Ik heb een dokter nodig.
Mag ik uw telefoon gebruiken? Zestien. Zeventien. Twaalf. Ein Uhr middags, twee Uhr middags, minut, minuten, twee Uhr snugget, gut, gut, sehr gut.
Well, I don't know about you, C-37X, but my assault rifle is quite proficient.
Beep.
Yes.
Boop.
Hey, you
Boop.
Dirty libertarian.
Boop.
Think about what it says in the
Boop.
Bible.
Boop. Boop.
You don't know what's good for Alaska.
Beep, beep, beep. Beep. Palin, beep. Beep.
I agree that Sarah Palin is the alpha and the omega, the beginning.
Exterminate.
We do not want to exterminate Sarah Palin. Repeat.
Boop.
Do not exterminate Sarah Palin.
Boop.
Do not exterminate Sarah Palin.
Boop.
All right, so I don't know about you, but like, just watching that footage just made me think about how we all really want to do that. Like, we all just want to get in a car and just drive away, man. Just go driving away from authority and society, you know.
Where are we going to drive?
What do you mean where we're going to drive?
Well, anywhere, right?
Anywhere, man.
Well,
I mean, think about the book we just read.
What book was that?
It was that wonderful book by Chuck Palahniuk.
I was too high.
Me too, but I'm pretty sure the title will come back to us eventually. But the thing is, it like spoke to us, man. I mean, don't we all just want to steal a car and go driving down the highway, shooting out the windows?
With Popo after us, and I got my dad's Glock.
Oh, shit!
shit.
Yeah, it'll be... Oh, okay, this will be like Hegelian, or I don't even know if that's the right fucking adverb.
Foucauldian. It doesn't fucking matter, man.
We'll be like, okay, we'll be like fucking Bonnie and Clyde, but two dudes, but not in a gay way. It's okay, not in a gay way, man.
It's totally cool. Yeah, man.
I'm going to go off the cliff in Dover.
We don't want to go a cliff, man.
Well, no, it's poetic.
But we're driving the sunset, man. I don't want to die.
Off a cliff into the sunset.
But we're still going to die.
Like James Dean almost did, but he got out of the car. It was cool.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, but the other fucker, he went off the cliff. But he didn't do it poetically.
Stupid asshole.
But I mean...
So, what do you Americans have planned for the last stages of the war?
I'm not an American. You know what we will do? We'll fight them on the shores and in the streets and in the skies, Mr. Stalin.
I need solid plans. What do you have planned?
I'm in a wheelchair. I can't help that much.
Look, do you want us to invade Japan or not?
Well, if you could do it in the hills, you could. We kind of got it covered. Be in the wheelchair.
But we need the diplomatic power over Japan. We need to divide it in half so we can better. Fix it, yes. Fix it economically, yes.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute there, Mr. Stalin.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
I said I wouldn't do it. I'd leave it alone. Tried to ditch it. Followed me right back home. After a while, I don't resist. I'm alive with a purpose. My way down, looking for it. And that's what I'm afraid.
I mean, just look at the guy.
I am. I've got my... You know what I have with me? I've got the Fateful Triangle, Manufacturing Consent, and At War with Asia. And they all have his fucking picture in the back.
I know.
And it's just like framed, so you get all those crinkles. Yeah. And it's like, it's this great dualism, right? Oh, he's got these wrinkles. And it's like, oh, that's my grandpa. I feel comforted by his maturity and his intelligence. But at the same time, it's like, I would hit that.
You what?
Yeah.
You would hit Noam Chomsky?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure he...
I suppose.
It would be a favor. It would be... No, not a favor. I'm not saying... Well, his wife's dead.
Sexual... Too soon. But
I'm sorry, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose that knowing gaze, the nice hint of a smile he has there.
Yeah. I mean, and his nose, it's chiseled. But not chiseled, not like a chin, just perfectly.
Yeah, it's well-shaped. It's a well-shaped nose.
Yeah. And he's 100% Jewish.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Huh.
What could be better?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, and for a man his age, he does keep in shape.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, maybe he's only got a couple years left, but oh boy, they're good ones.
Yeah, they're going to be fantastic ones.
Well, they'll be fantastic if I run into them.
Oh, you.
Fuck. The following time has been left intentionally empty. Please use it to say things that offend you. Feel free to blame anything and everything you say on the broadcasters behind Shuffle Play. And as we can see, Billy's been occupying square number one for almost 10 minutes now, almost since the beginning of recess.
It's kind of, if I can say so myself, James, it's a good statement on modern, something modern.
Yeah, I mean, the Billy administration has been very forward about their treetops policy.
Yeah, I mean, so given the nature of the ball, and okay, so we've seen... For a while now, Mr. Fincham in square four, right?
Yeah.
He's dominating, but not...
Well, attempting to dominate.
Benevolently?
Yeah, I mean...
Is there such a thing as a benevolent dictatorship? From the fourth square.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, sure, he does that obnoxious thing where he bounces the ball all the way up to, you know, 15...
fucking illegal.
It should be, but I mean, you know, these are the ways and bylaws we have to work with. Mm-hmm. And in our four-square democracy, we just need to hold by the Constitution.
Could we, James, even call it a democracy at its best, potentially?
That's true. It is quite arbitrary. Might makes right. And to be honest, I'm okay with this. I mean... It's a meritocracy. It's a pure meritocracy.
True.
If you can't make it all the way to the fourth square, it's your own damn fault.
Because
that's just how it works.
Only you can hit that ball. No one else.
I mean, sure, there are the people who say, oh, yeah, Stevie's, you know, intentionally making sure that him and his friends stay in squares three and four. But, I mean, it's nonsense. The other people just aren't trying hard enough.
Yarman, you whore. Damate yo. Sotato ine. Seko majide kakoe. Nani ni tsuete hanashiteru no. Hanashi o tsuzuki yo. Sore no tsuyote hanashitaku nai. Kirei namida nai. Ie, kaori. Kiso shite moi. Kirei na karada da nai. Chotto achi muotete. Hanto no kote ite.
So first you put the water in the pot, get it up to a nice rolling boil. And during this time, you can do any number of things, unspeakable or speakable. It's really your choice.
I prefer the speakable.
Really?
Twist there. See, most people say unspeakable, but...
Yeah, I personally am a big fan of the unspeakable. I mean, why the speakable?
It's speakable.
I suppose that's true. I mean, you're following the morals of conventional society. Anyway, so... As it begins to boil, you open up your box and you take out the cheese packet. Oh, believe me, you don't want to drop in the cheese packet now. And you drop in all the little shells. They should make, you know, nice little clacking noise as they're all sliding into the water there.
Like crabs. They've gone crabbing. It's like crabs.
Yeah. And when the macaroni's in the pot, here's my secret. Put in way too much salt. Just grab a salt shaker, go fucking ballistic. Shake it 20, 30 times. Doesn't fucking matter. Just enough to make sure that none of those little bits of macaroni are sticking to the pot.
It's like fucking your pre in there, just...
Yeah. The Dead Sea or something.
Yeah.
And then what do you do next?
You know what? I've never made mac and cheese before. I don't know. What do you do next?
Well, after that, you just, you know, make sure it's all done. You taste a couple, make sure they're nice and al dente. And then you strain them. And
is that Italian?
Al dente?
Yeah.
Why, yes, it is.
Oh, my God. Man of the world.
Yeah. And then you put in the cheese, maybe a little bit of butter, maybe a little bit of milk. The more butter, the more fattening it is. So, of course, the more butter, the better. And then you just stir everything up. I like leaving it on the burner for a minute or two just so it gets nice and soft. And then you end up done. And you have macaroni and cheese. Lexicon.
Person. Androgynous.
Being.
Apple.
Pear.
Banana.
Grape.
Fruits.
Basket.
Jewish.
Jewish?
Jewish.
Chomsky.
Jewish.
Star.
Kibbutz.
Israel.
Poland.
Germany.
Deutsch.
Hitler.
Stalin.
Leningrad.
India.
Gandhi.
Buddha.
Fat.
Large.
Obese.
Megalomaniac.
Excessive.
Nematode.
Pond.
Pool.
Scum.
Flexible.
Malleable.
Ovoid.
Beautiful.
Pretty.
Disgusting.
Light.
Dark.
Alabama.
Sweet.
Sweden.
Lutefisk.
Spring.
Fall.
Anchovies.
Salt.
Yurt.
Hampshire.
Mongolia.
Mongolia.
satellites and the rotating drones.
So I was like doing the reading last night, and I don't know, man. I think like bodies are a social construct.
Yeah. I mean, like, take it this way. Everything's a social construct.
Whoa, man.
Even a social construct, considerably.
Well, yeah, I mean, social constructs are social constructs. I mean, all philosophy is a social construct.
Right? We feel the need to justify anachronistic tropes inherent in our very perception of what is, of what you are, what I am.
I am a social construct.
We're all social constructs.
You're not a social construct, only I am.
Does that mean... Wait. So I'm... Why am I not a social construct?
Well, you're a physical object. I can poke you. I'm poking you right now.
I could poke you.
Well, yes, but you can't poke my identity.
Son of a bitch, you're right.
I sure am.
But isn't our identity part of that physical object?
Whoa, no, it's not. No, it's not.
You're just saying no isn't no a social construct? You can't just...
Ah, God. Yeah, God damn. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon them these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And the hewed tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto the mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone.
And here we have a famed director and producer, Woody Allen, here to talk about his new movie, Bananas. Woody?
Thanks for having me. I really don't know what to say. It's not... ask me a question or something.
So, I understand that this movie is semi-autobiographical. Can you tell us about that?
Well, one year, it was a while back, Castro...
Fidel Castro?
You invited me down into, Cuba and all that, but it's, I'm getting a bit nervous, you know.
Did you actually go to Cuba?
Yeah.
What was it like there?
I'm not sure I was supposed to.
Yeah, you weren't, but let's go on with the interview. We're just going to have to access that part out when we make the broadcast. let's say you're just saying good things about Homeland Security, but go on. How was your trip down to the Caribbean?
Well, okay, so as long as we're in the State Department, I don't even know. The dancing? Woman, bananas, oh, chips, conch chowder.
Conch chowder?
You're not going to find that in the deli in New York. Conch chowder.
Huh, how's it taste?
I can't describe it.
Oh, it's just...
My wit's failing me.
Your wit's failing you, but you're Woody Allen.
My wit can sometimes fail me.
That's not true, Woody.
You're not me.
But you're Woody Allen, defined by your wit. Surely it cannot fail.
No, it's a coincidental, neurotic, self-identifying, self-destructive wit. It's not like...
That's true. I suppose it's self-destructive when it fails on you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Woody.
Thank you.
Would you like a hug?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have to keep talking?
We're hugging it out.
We're hugging... Okay. It wasn't complicated, it was just I'm wrong. Nothing to run, but I took it too long. Said he got a little dog, and he just couldn't see me. Come back behind him. No bow, no chain, no hammer from the judge. No fuel, no trial, just an execution. So tell me, tell me, tell me what I know. Know about it.
We're going to talk about balls now.
And not the kind of balls you might think we're talking about. You know, there aren't only those few testicular balls, but there are galas, event balls, sporting balls, a basketball, a baseball, a golf ball,
a
tennis ball, a testicle. I already said that one, yeah.
Right, but are they sporting balls?
They can be on occasion. Accordingly.
That sounds painful.
It does, but let's get forward beyond the ball kicking, preferably.
Yes. Yeah, that's a scenario we shouldn't dwell in.
No. Balls. What do they mean to each and every one of us?
Well, I think they mean oppression to half of our society. And, of course, we all know which half we're talking about. The short people.
They have no reason to live. Tiny hands.
Hey.
Tiny feet.
Hey, are you a ballsist?
Yeah. Well, no, it depends on how you define that one. I'm a ballsist in the sense that I will stress the importance of the ball in the context
of
any modern dialogue. And I do hate short people. Well, no, I don't.
You just said you hate short people.
You're putting what?
You're short peopleist. You're heightist.
Well, Randy Newman has me backed on that one, so.
Hey, Randy Newman didn't tell you how to live your life, man.
Well, he is now. Not as important.
Hugh Laurie makes deft comic use of names and nicknames, such as the Carls, Murda, and the deadly helicopter named The Graduate. Name some of your favorites.
Who is the gunseller of the novel's title?
One reviewer wrote that The Gunseller is certainly the first novel to combine The Day of the Jackal with The Code of the Woosters. What other literary and cinematic comparisons does The Gunseller bring to mind?
To enjoy The Gunseller, do you think a reader must be familiar with traditional spy novels? Why or why not?
Part of the way through The Gunseller, Sarah Wolf stops being preceded by the scent of Nina Ricci's Fleur de Fleur. What might this suggest? Discuss the ways the author marks shifting nature of Thomas Lang's relationship to Sarah.
Discuss how much Solomon knew about graduate studies and when he knew it.
Note some of the ways Laurie sends up cliches. For instance, she turned towards me and narrowed her eyes. Narrow them horizontally, not vertically.
How has Laurie altered your opinions of Volvos or Fiat Pandas? According to The Gunseller, why do diplomats end up with all the world's real estate?
So what's it looking like there, Harry?
Well, next up we have shuffle play for however much longer it happens to be on.
Oh.
Then at 9 we have Sea Cabbage in the Yurt, featuring everyone's favorite Captain Cabbage. And tonight, Captain Cabbage will do some crazy thing that he always does. Following that, we have What the Kids Aren't Listening To, with two guys whose names I am blanking on right now. And that's at 11.
you think Big Daddy Wiz will like the rags?
No.
It's him! Yes, I can see him! Two-point landing.
It's great to be here with you young witches on this fabulous night. Remember, girls, show the world. Let them know it's Halloween. Hit it!
I wouldn't change places with anyone tonight. We'll carve pumpkin faces and watch the witches' flight. Every human heart will shudder. Every soul will shake with fear. Tonight, the creepiest. Tonight, the scariest. Tonight, the most wonderful night. Turn into a cat. There may be a toad in your bass guitar, or your sister could turn into a bat. Christmas time brings the snow, summer time brings the sun, but on Halloween your blood begins to run.
Something spooky is going down.
Better than a video. Gremlins gonna mess up every cassette from London to Idaho. April 1st can be fun. New Year's Eve is a bore. But on Halloween, your flesh begins to crawl.
Oh, I'm losing control.
Sardine, your dentist could turn into a queen.
Has anybody seen my tambourine? I may start playing big in the beginning. The craziest night you've ever seen. This hairy, scary, creepy, crawling
packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high. There's a kite by then. The earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a dying. Can I take a
touchdown. Brings me back again to find I'm not the man they think I am back home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out here alone. I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown bring me round again and find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out here alone. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise a kid. In fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all this science, I don't understand. Just a job. 5 days a week. Rocket man. A rocket man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no. No, no, I'm a rocket man. Rocket man, burning out his fuse out here. Hello. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, 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 I'm a rocket man. Rocket man, burning out his fuse out here alone. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be long, long time. And I think it's gonna be long, long time.
And now, a public service announcement. Hello, this is Jed Spencen, owner and proprietor of Jed's Fan Boats in 32 Everglades Drive, Floridia, America. We have a problem, and we think that you, the local people of Florida, are the only ones who can help. There are just too many gators out in that swamp. We need you, brave citizens of Florida, to get out there with your firearms and kill some gators for us. Tourism is Florida's major industry. Because of that, we need tourists to not be eaten by gators. With your help, we can reduce the gator population to the point where we can merely mock and ridicule them, thus making them even better for the tourist industry. I don't need to tell you about the incident that happened on one of my boats last week where two tourists fell into the water and were consumed by gators. In closing, please remember, the head is the weakest point. Thank you.
And that's all we have tonight on Shuffle Play. Wasn't that wonderful? Now, I'm just going to remind... This is Greg Larson reminding you that reality is devoid of inherent meaning and that no decision you make has consequences. And here's Tom the Thunderbear with the last word.